Good morning. Happy New Year. I titled the message, Another Year in the Last Hour. You know, I really had to pray through preparing this morning. I don't know how many of it, and we'll take a look at, I'm not going to go over everything in 2022. We'll be here forever. All the insanity of man, you know, and it's ramping up. I'm sure that 2023, it's going to double, triple, 10 times, who knows, you know, with all their great ideas. But I had some trepidation in preparing the message this morning. Some of you may be aware that, we know that the world is redefining words. We looked at the dictionary. No, the English one. No, okay, never mind. No. They redefine man and woman to identify. It's at what you identify with. That's the definition now of man and woman. And they're redefining all kinds of things in order to bring about their, you know, what they believe is right for humanity and everything else. So then Stanford comes up with the list of banned words and terms. And I'm not going to go through all of them. But we can no longer use grandfather. Well, it has a negative connotation in the South to block certain voting. It was used for that. So all of you grandfathers, put your hands up. You are now legacies. We cannot say brave anymore because it denotes, you know, it's a negative look upon the indigenous men of America, but they can only be called brave. But they don't have a substitute for it, so you can't use that in the last word of the Star Spangled Banner. And the home of the, and then it has to end with that, because they don't have a replacement word. So you can't say brave, preferred pronouns. Now this is something that they came up with, but to say preferred pronouns makes it sound like the people that want a preferred pronoun are different, which is what they're relating when they ask for the preferred pronoun. But we're just to ignore it and say pronouns. So imagine with all of this going on, trying to put together a message of truth and righteousness. All right? Because who knows? I don't know if you're allowed to say Happy New Year. Because what about the people that aren't happy in the new year? Are we not having empathy? You know, are we not being like Jesus for all those poor people? But I digress. Let's pray. Oh, open your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, and then we'll pray. Heavenly Father, we're so grateful for your word and your truth, Lord, that parses through all of the smoke and mirrors of this world, Lord, that seems to be waxing worse with every new day, let alone every new year. And so, Lord, we pray that you would give us insight and wisdom and clarity in how to navigate what is ahead. Lord, recognizing what you have brought us through, what's behind. And so, Lord, we just pray that you would speak to us through your word, that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit. Lord, we need to be men and women who live and walk by your Holy Spirit. It's the only way. And so, Lord, we pray that you would quicken our hearts and that you would give us eyes to see and ears to hear what you have for your church. And we pray this in Jesus' holy and precious name. Amen. You know, I was just thinking and just wanted to share something that the Lord just kind of opened my eyes to. And we're going through the Psalms on Wednesday night, been awesome time of praise and just a time of reflection and the heart of of a worshiper, David, the sweet psalmist. And I was reminded, because, you know, so much of what's going on in the church today, I think we've lost sight of why we come together, and why at Calvary Chapel we have a time of praise, and then a teaching and reading of the Word of God and praise. So important that we understand the purpose of praise, because to a great extent I think the church has lost track. And we can come in and we can have that attitude, I didn't really like that song, and that song wasn't ministering to me, and different things. And we do this, and we all do it, and we were talking about it on Wednesday night. But I was reminded, and the Lord, you know, very, very clearly reminded me, and I think by way of reminder for all of you, when we, you know, that time of prayer, it's an aspect of worship. It is not for me, and it is not for you. It's for Him. That time that we spent, it's for Him. It's to bless Him. And it should blow our minds that we can offer up praise that blesses God. And as you do that, then it ministers. You know what I'm saying? To us. And so, just as we move on and we are in a new year, let's come to worship together with that focus. That time is to be focused on Him. Not wondering if we're going to like the song or the way it's played or whether it, right? It's not about me. It's about Him. This is the beauty of it. And the reason why we do this is the sharing of the Word and the teaching of the Word. That's for you and me. And God's going to speak to us through this. And so we just prepare our hearts through that time of praise. So I wanted to share that with you because I needed kind of an adjustment, because I get into that too. I don't really like, but I know that other people like that song, this song, and you start getting inside your own head and you miss the opportunity to bless God during that time because it's about Him. So important. So 1 John, we left off at verse 17 before our Christmas service, and John writing to the church, it's certainly about warning of false teaching that certainly had already arisen, has existed within the church, and talking to the church about the heart, you know, that we walk in and loving the Lord, loving one another, that we live lives that are honest and truthful and open before other people. And we pick up in verse 18, he says, "Little children, it is the last hour. And as you have heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come, by which we know that it is the last hour." And certainly we talk about it a lot as we see the signs that Jesus had laid down, you know, in Matthew and in Luke, and certainly all of the apostles as they wrote. We know what's going on in the world. We can see it. It is, they're not hiding it anymore. In fact, they're becoming more brash and more open in this humanism, the secular humanism that has control over this world. See, we're living in the last hour. These are the last days. I believe that it's becoming more and more evident with every day. The evidence it is the last day are they're ramping up, and it's Babylon. It's the mystical religion, it's the financial influence, they're all emerging. They're being imposed upon humanity on a global scale. Antichrist is coming, John writes. There is an Antichrist who is going to be a world leader, we're told, in Revelation and also prophesied of by Daniel. That word Antichrist is in place of or opposed to. Okay? And back in Daniel, starting at chapter 7, it says this, verse 23. Thus he said, "The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all the other kingdoms, and shall devour the whole earth, trample it, and break it in pieces. The 10 horns are 10 kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them. He shall be different from the first ones and shall subdue 3 kings. He shall speak pompous words against the Most High, shall persecute the saints of the Most High, and shall intend to change times and law. Then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time and times and half a time. And we see the spirit, you know, and we talk a lot about the spirit of this world, the spirit of Antichrist, and he'll intend to change times. I believe when our culture in society and you know, the powers that be, the brain trust behind all of this, you know, when they went from B.C. and A.D. to B.C.E., before the Common Era, and then the C.E., Common Era, they got, so, you know, every little thing they're doing along the way is to try and remove Christ from the picture, right? I was surprised that Stanford didn't include Jesus Christ on the list. You just can't say Jesus Christ anymore. They've already taken him out of time, right? And it says, and law. Bible has a lot to say about the end times, that there will be lawlessness. We see that. We see mankind not willing to uphold its own laws, to allow, you know, lawlessness and anarchy and stuff like that. So we see this happen. Now, he's in contrast here in Daniel with the true Christ, with Jesus Christ. But the court shall be seated. They shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. And so we see that there is an Antichrist that is going to come. Daniel goes on to describe this Antichrist in chapter 8. And in the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise, having fierce features, who understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. He shall destroy fearfully and shall prosper and thrive. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his cunning, he shall cause deceit to prosper under his rule. This is only a little deception we're dealing with right now, but it's conditioning, right? It's conditioning mankind and society to prepare for the one that's going to completely deceive. And it says, he shall exalt himself in his heart. He shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, but he shall be broken without human means. And the vision of the evenings and mornings which was told is true. Therefore, seal up the vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And then also in chapter 9, Daniel says this about him. And after 62 weeks, Messiah shall be cut off. Jesus Christ went to the cross and rose again. It was after the 69 weeks of Daniel, which was from the time that Ahasuerus told Nehemiah to go back and rebuild the city and the walls, to the time that Jesus Christ rode in on the foal of a donkey, announcing that the Prince of Peace and the King had arrived, right? 176,330 days, I believe, to the day from one to the next, which fulfilled that. Then Jesus went to the cross, and then there's 7 days left. After he's cut off, the people, the prince who is to come shall destroy the city and the sanctuary. That specifically is speaking of Rome destroying the temple in AD 70. And until the end of the war, desolations are determined. And then it says, then he shall confirm a covenant with many for 1 week. It'll all begin with a peace treaty with Jerusalem, with Israel. But in the middle of the week, that is a seven-year period, he shall bring an end to Sorry, and I'm kind of throwing this out. If you've never done a study on tribulation and the end days, you can go and listen to the studies in Revelation, but I'm kind of giving you an overview of what John is talking about, what Paul talked about, and when they're talking about Antichrist, the Antichrist, or an Antichrist, at the end of the age. He shall bring an end to sacrifice and offering, and on the wing of abomination shall be one who makes desolate, even until the consummation, which is determined, is poured out on the desolate. Jesus actually quotes that, talking about a sign for the children of Israel during the time of the tribulation, that at the 3.5 period mark, that the Antichrist will enter the temple and he will commit the abomination of desolation as he sets himself up as God in God's house. And so, but we see that there, the Antichrist, it's spoken of by Daniel, it's in Revelation, John talks about it, Paul talks about it in 1st or 2nd Thessalonians chapter 2. Says, now brethren, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first, which we see happening right now. So many, it's being revealed, that don't believe the truth or are falling away from the truth. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, that is Antichrist, who Daniel talked about or wrote about, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? And now you know what is restraining, that is the Holy Spirit and the work and the Holy Spirit's work in the church and salvation, that he may be revealed in his own time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. Only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, as the church is removed and called up at the last trumpet to be with the bride and the bridegroom at the wedding feast. We call it the rapture, and everybody gets mad that calls it the rapture. I'll just call it harpazo, because that's what it is. It's to be snatched away, taken up into the clouds to be with the Lord. And then the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the breath of his mouth and destroy with the brightness of his coming. The coming of the lawless one is according to the working of Satan, with all powers and signs and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. Same warning that John here is going to give. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. A lot of lies being believed today, that we can choose our gender. God made a mistake in his creation. That there's flying saucers all around us. The aliens are coming. Jesus isn't going to return. He lied. Man is on his own. We've got to figure it out for ourselves. We have tapped into the human genome and can program it with our own technology. You know they believe that, right? In fact, Elon Musk. One of his ventures is actually believes that they have been able to tap into the brain with artificial intelligence. And they're researching that right now, and ultimately they're going to want to transform humanity, transhumanism. Pretty wild. It's delusion. That they all may be condemned who did not believe the truth but had pleasure in unrighteousness. And John says many antichrists have come. There's an interesting note this morning. Vicar was a title that was used in the Roman hierarchical authority. It was the second in command. But adopted by the universal church state, Vicarius Christi, Vicar of Christ, supreme and universal primacy, first. Vicarious means substitute or in place of Christ. Only Christ is the head of his church, and the Holy Spirit whom the Father sent. He alone is the true vicar of Christ, representative of Christ. And John and Peter warn of false prophets, false teachers that will try to deceive the church. I believe that all the presentation of new revelation that we keep hearing about and extra biblical knowledge is nothing more than old Gnosticism repackaged as new super spirituality that John and Peter both warn us about. And it's by antichrists. They're opposed to the truth. Possessors of secret knowledge that were not given by inspiration of the scriptures, like we're told. And it fits right in line with Satan's deception in the garden. Did God really say that? Did he tell you everything? Didn't he tell you that once you eat of that fruit, you're going to be like him, you're going to have the knowledge of good and evil, that you're going to be like God? Those things he hasn't shared with you, he hasn't revealed to you. You know, the scripture's pretty clear. He has given us everything that we need for godliness and holiness and to know him. Everything. Another evidence that it is the last hour. We see these doctrines, the little God preachers, that you can be like God. But Matthew, Jesus says in chapter 24 of Matthew, starting at 5, for many will come in my name, saying, I am the Christ, and will deceive many. You will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass, but the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines. Pestilences, we saw that. We live in an insane world. All right, so the super cold went through, and now they're afraid that it's escaping China again. You know, and you know that there's going to put a lot of people in derision and fear. It's already made it to Italy. Stop the insanity, I mean. But because of the things and the supply chains and the droughts that are in certain areas of the United States, now they're talking about famines and super famines all over the world. They're already saying it's going to happen as they kill all the chickens and a lot of the cattle and stuff. Like and it's self-imposed. Earthquakes in various places. There's earthquakes going on. There's volcanoes blowing up. All signs. All these are the beginning of sorrows, and they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. You will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. Speaking of Jerusalem, the Jews, many will be offended, will betray one another, will hate one another. Many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. And that is acceptance of sin. I mean, that's basically what it's talking about. It's talking about spiritual lawlessness. That's what God is really concerned about. And it says, he who endures to the end shall be saved. This is the gospel. And this gospel, the kingdom, will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations. Then the end will come. And then he goes into the abomination of desolation, which is assigned to the Jews, not to the church. We don't have to worry about those things because it has to do with the rebuilt temple that's going to be coming. But we see that it's the last hour. We think about days. The warning and the encouragement from John even to the early church, and we talk about it because to live with the understanding of the imminent return of Christ is being discouraged from many pulpits today. We are to live not just as it could be the last, finally, it's the final hour. That's how we're to live. And we know that the exhortation from John and Peter are to live godly lives, to live holy lives, to walk in the righteousness of God. That's a real thing. It's not profess Christ and go live willy-nilly how you want to. That's cheap grace. And so he says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. And so talking of those false teachers and those false prophets, they were shoot out of the church, which is what should happen today. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. And that's the anointing. Oh, come here to get the anointing. Oh, I've got the anointing. I'm going to give everybody the anointing. Listen, just so you know, that's a scam. Because my anointing is individual and it's personal. God and your anointing, if God has anointed you, if the Holy Spirit lives in you, understand what the meaning is, and especially of the Hebrew understanding and the teachers, is you don't have an anointing that you can spread out to everybody else. Your anointing is yours. They have these things where if you come, man, they're gonna throw out the anointing. The anointing. The power. I got the power. And I'm being facetious, but it's sad because so many people buy into that. And it's interesting that the natural global weather phenomenon, as well as the supernatural phenomenon, that which are God's focused warnings, are now global climate change. You know, they've got their name for it. You know, weather's been happening ever since the flood, right? And water moves around. God has storehouses. Snow and ice move around. He moves it from the north to the south. He moves it from Alaska to Greenland. Actually, Greenland is now more like Iceland, and Iceland is now more like Greenland, they say. And guess what? Those ice those glaciers are actually growing there, but they won't tell you that. They just want to tell you that the snow and ice are leaving Alaska and those poor polar bears have nowhere to go. Yeah, they do. They know where to go. They've gone there, just so you know. I'm trying to be good. And make no mistake, global climate change is a religion. It is secular humanism. Someone said, if you want to get rich, start a religion. So the world government, through World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, United Nations, are establishing their religion. And it's Babylon. They have Gaia, earth worship, nature worship, the green, the whole green thing. You have leaders of nations that are calling for their countries to worship Mother Earth, which Paul warns that they will worship the creature, that is the creation, instead of the Creator. Today we see blatant and overt rise of the occult Eastern mysticism that arose out of Babylonian religious practices. It is Antichrist, just so you know. At the 2022 Commonwealth Games in Great Britain, the opening ceremony was highlighted by an enormous mechanical bull I can't remember how tall it was. It was huge. It was illuminated red, smoke emanating from its nostrils and everything. It was being pulled with chains by numerous women out into the field where the opening ceremony was. And it was ultimately tamed by a woman holding a light. As many took part in prostrating themselves before the bull. And all of this was performed before a tower that they referred to as the Tower of Babel or the Tower of Britain. They're not hiding it. That's Baal worship. That came out of the Babylonian mystery religions. It was the prime god, Baal. Occult practices like shamanism is repackaged under new names to infiltrate the church, and it has visualization. These are all practices of shamanism, and this comes right from grandmasters of shamanism that practice shamanism. Visualization, hypnosis, positive thinking, positive confession, Eastern meditation techniques like contemplative prayer, they have all been received into the church. And if that's not enough, the church has prophets that act like psychics. And if you give them money, they'll give you your prophecy. They have adopted tarot cards and called them faith cards or something ridiculous. Astrology, yoga. You know yoga's a religion, right? But if you put Christian in front of it, it's all good. The church has done that, and it's sad. These are all forbidden in the New Testament and the Old Testament by God. And that's the short list. Jeremiah chapter 7, starting at verse 4, do not trust in these lying words, saying the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord, the temple of the Lord are these. They had the temple, and as long as they had the temple and they could go to the temple, because it was always about the heart by which they went to the temple. It's about the heart by which we come to the sanctuary to worship the Lord. It's not about this building. You know, the building isn't the church. But they thought as long as the temple was present, God was with them and God was good with whatever they did. He said, but verse 5, for if you thoroughly amend your ways and your doings, if you thoroughly execute judgment between a man and his neighbor, if you do not oppress the stranger, the fatherless, and the widow, and do not shed innocent blood in this place, or walk after other gods to your hurt, then I will cause you to dwell in this place, in the land that I gave to your fathers forever and ever. Behold, you trust in lying words and cannot profit. Will you steal, murder, commit adultery, swear falsely, burn incense to Baal, and walk after other gods whom you do not know? And then come and stand before me in this house which is called by my name and say, we are delivered to do all these abominations. It's okay. Bono says it's okay. And Bono's a rock and roller. Has this house, which is called by name, my name, become a den of thieves in your eyes? Behold, I have seen it, says the Lord. Do we accept those things that are going on in the world and what the world says is okay? John says you have an anointing. The word is chrisma. It means unction of the Holy Spirit from the Holy One. And he says, and you know all things. The correct wording is you all know things. Switch that over, because that's what it means. You all know things. It doesn't mean you know all things, because if that were true, every one of us sitting around going, well, I have the Holy Spirit, the Bible says, and I don't know anything, right? I don't know everything. I don't know all things, but I know things. You know things. You know what's important. You know better than to be deceived by the spirit of this world and the lies and the untruths. Remember back in verse 15 through 17, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it. But he who does the will of God abides forever. 2022 has revealed the rise of Babylon and its false prophets and its false teachers, Schwab, Harari, most of the world leaders, and all you have to do is follow the money. Religious Babylon, the one world religion, has been unveiled. It was unveiled in Abu Dhabi in the Abrahamic family house, where they have built a synagogue, a mosque, and a church, all on the same property in unity. In Berlin, they are building building a building with three separate sanctuaries inside of it where Islam, Judaism, and Christianity can all practice their religion. It's called the House of One, all under the title of Interfaith. And he says, I have not written to you, verse 21, because you do not know the truth. You all know things. Listen, you have the unction of the Holy Spirit given to you by your Heavenly Father. And you know, right? And he says, but because you know it, and that no lie is of the truth. Who is a liar but he who denies that Jesus is the Christ? He is Antichrist, who denies the Father and the Son, opposed to Christ. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father either. He who acknowledges the Son has the Father also. Judaism does not believe that Jesus Christ is the Messiah, the Son of God. Islam does not believe that God is a father. He has no son. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 4 through 6, Paul wrote this, there is one body and one spirit, just as you are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, and one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. You see, we have the Holy Spirit, and we are to be aware of what is going on and to be able to discern what is true and what is a lie. And there's a lot of lying going on out there. And not be afraid to call it what it is. Oh, I don't want to call them a liar. I might hurt their feelings. And what's next? Well, I'll tell you what's next. Davos 2023. Happy New Year. The World Economic Forum is gathering together again to solve they have solutions to all the world's problems, which they have created. Many of the featured speakers, they're world leaders, financial giants, many experts on digital currency that are coming up. And I have to be honest, until 2002, I really never heard of the organization called BlackRock. The CEO of BlackRock is going to be one of the keynote speakers. They hold around $10 trillion in corporate and real estate assets and holdings around the world. Big holders of pharma. They made a lot of money off this COVID thing. The major media outlets, CNN, MSNBC, Disney, Fox, they have major stakes in all of those. Now you know why you're being fed the lies that you're being fed. And China. Isn't that great? Did you know BlackRock has one of the world's supercomputers that tracks financial trends of everybody that is that is invested in one way or another in BlackRock holdings and everything else, they are able to track trends. And so if you have any holdings in BlackRock, the advertisements you get are cleverly put together by the supercomputer they have. Well, why do they have interest? Why are they so tied into China? China has a supercomputer and their surveillance. You see the intellectual and financial conglomerates. I mean, you know, the information and data, it is going to come together because the one world government of Antichrist, it's for that it's necessary. That's what's going on. And BlackRock, along with Vanguard, they're two together. Probably they're a super conglomerate of worldwide holdings and have quite the leverage over corporations and world leaders. Do you know that? Come on, I thought I was the first one to figure that out. You see, 2023 is going to take a huge step to the global economy. The world is prostrated before globalism. That's the world's Baal. It's science, it's technology, it's governance, the religion of Antichrist and the spirit of this world. It is Babylon. Revelation chapter 17, starting at verse 1, we're told this. One of the seven angels who had the seven bowls came and talked to me, saying to me, "Come, I will show you the judgment of the great harlot who sits on many waters, with whom the kings of the earth committed fornication." And that great harlot is the one world religion under the false prophet who is under the authority of the Antichrist. "The inhabitants of the earth were made drunk with the wine of her fornication. So he carried me away in the spirit into the wilderness, and I saw a woman sitting on a scarlet beast, which was full of names of blasphemy, having seven heads and ten horns. The woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet," that is priestly colors and authority, kingly colors, "adorned with gold, precious stones, pearls, having in her hand a golden cup full of abominations and the filthiness of her fornication. On her forehead a name was written, Mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and of the abominations of the earth." The mother of harlots, the mother of false religions, everything that has ever come out of Babylon that's still evident today and is infiltrating the church, sadly. Listen, if you're messing with any of those things, stop. And then I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints, with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And when I saw her, I marveled with great amazement. And then in chapter 18, verse 1 through 5, "After these things, I saw another angel coming down from heaven, having great authority, and the earth was illuminated with his glory. And he cried mightily with a loud voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become a dwelling place of demons, a prison for every foul spirit, and a cage for every unclean and hated bird. For all the nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. The kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and merchants of the earth have become rich through the abundance of her luxury. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, lest you share in her sins and lest you receive of her plagues. For her sins have reached to heaven and God has remembered her iniquities." Jeremiah chapter 9, speaking to the children of Israel, says this, starting at verse 23, "Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, and let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these I delight, says the Lord. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will punish all who are circumcised and are uncircumcised." Let them glory in this, that I that he understands and knows me. And that's what John is talking about here, that we know him. So important that we know the true God, that we know the true Christ. There's a lot of false Christs that are being pawned off on people today. Therefore, what's the therefore? Therefore, that's always the question when you come to a therefore in Scripture, right? Let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you also will abide in the Son and in the Father. And this is the promise that he has promised us, eternal life. You have God's word, and it is the truth. And let that abide in you. Don't divert from it. Don't buy into all this new revelation and false prophecy and all this other garbage that's going on today. All that is about to come upon this world. Everything that's coming upon this world, listen, it's temporal. Our promise from the Lord and our promises from God are eternal. They're all held here. They're all eternal. How do we deal with 2023 and what's necessarily coming, right? We talk about it. It's frustrating. But there's nothing we're going to be able to do about it. That doesn't mean we stop praying and those other things. Man, we want on earth as it is in heaven. But when we see these things happening, what do? Do we panic? Do we give in to fear? Do we compromise when in Rome, do as the Romans do? Do we participate in unrighteousness? You know, just say it's Christian and go for it. In Luke chapter 22, Jesus says this, chapter 21, verse 25, there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on the earth, distress of nations with perplexity. That's what we're witnessing right now. They don't know how to solve mankind's problems. They think they can solve it with money or their own wisdom. I think that they know that's failing, so they're turning to artificial intelligence, which expresses kind of, right, their own intellect. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. I honestly, and I know, I don't think a lot of mankind, their eyes are covered, they're clouded, right? There's scales on their eyes, they can't see the truth. But I know the spirit of this world isn't worried about the problems that are coming upon the earth. They're worried about the return of Jesus Christ because they know that they've lost, they're wrong. That's the agitation and the perplexity. How do they escape Christ's promise of coming? There will be sign, and then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Look up. And then he goes on, in verse 34, he says, take heed to yourselves lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life. And that day come on you unexpectedly. For it will come as a snare on all those who dwell on the face of the earth, the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Look up, watch, pray for the rapture of the church, for his coming for his bride to take us away to the wedding feast. Live as if it is you're in the last hour. These things I have written to you, John says, concerning those who try to deceive you, to lead you astray. Many in the church are falling away from the belief of the rapture, the premillennial, or the pre-tribulation return of Jesus Christ for his bride that Paul talks about in 1 Thessalonians, also follows up with in 2 Thessalonians that Jesus talked about. And it's not a doctrinal separator. You know, don't get me wrong. I just know that this, if that expectation is what keeps me on the straight and narrow, and he doesn't come at the beginning of the tribulation, I lose nothing. I've lived for Christ. But those that don't believe that, if they're wrong, may be caught unexpected. So I'm gonna live as if he's coming for his church with expectancy. Perfectly? No. But that's my motivator. The anointing which you have received, that is the unction of the Holy Spirit from the Holy Father, which you have received from him, abides in you. You do not need that anyone teach you. He gave you the Holy Spirit. Jesus said the Holy Spirit was going to come to lead you into all truth, so that you know the truth and to convict of sin and to bear witness of the truth of the true Messiah of Jesus Christ. He's the witness of Christ. But as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things and is true and is not a lie, and just as it has taught you, you will abide in him. And as we go, look, I'm going to teach the word to the best of my ability. You'll all know, you know, Pastor Joe calls that the Holy Spirit, when we have those, the baloney meter, your baloney meter will go off. If anything that I say, the Holy Spirit will start prompting you. You may want to check that. Let's make this our New Year's resolution to press into Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, to be led by His Spirit, to abide in truth, and not be carried away by the deception of this world and the spirit of this world and its antichrists. Don't be drawn away by looking for or anticipating who might be the Antichrist. We're not looking for the Antichrist. We're hoping in the return of Christ, Christians. These things being imposed upon the world, they're false. It's all lies. They're trying to make the world a better place. It's a facade that leads to destruction. We talked about it. They can make the world better, but they cannot make man better. They can make the world a better place, but they cannot make you and I better. Only Christ can do that. Jeremiah chapter 6, verse 14 and 16. I know it's a long one. Happy New Year. They have also healed the hurt of my people slightly, saying, peace, peace, when there is no peace. It'll all be okay. Everybody gets in the end. That's grace. Were they ashamed, verse 15, when they had committed abomination? No. They were not at all ashamed, nor did they know how to blush. Therefore they shall fall among those who fall. At the time I punish them, they shall be cast down, says the Lord. Thus says the Lord, stand in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, where the good way is, and walk in it. All this latest, greatest, newer, newfangled revelation, you know, feely-feely, come and we'll entertain you. Jesus says, man, look for the old path, the old ways, where the good ways are. Coming and worshiping and praising and blessing God and being blessed by Him and by His Word. That's the good ways. That's the old ways. And walk in it, then you will find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in it. Listen, 2023 is the year to trust Jesus Christ and Christ alone. And if you're here this morning and the Lord has opened the eyes of your heart and you recognize you've been deceived or you've compromised with the world, with spiritual Babylon, listen, it's not too late. It's the last hour. But you can make it right with Him. Turn from your sin and walk in His righteousness. Receive the anointing of the Holy One unto eternal life. Be filled with His Holy Spirit that you might know what is truth and what is deceit. Look up, watch, and pray that when the archangel sounds the last trumpet, you may be counted worthy, that you may be counted and worthy is in His righteousness. To escape all these things will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Little children, it is the last hour. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just prepare our hearts to come to your table. Lord, if there's anybody here, you've opened their hearts, Lord, and Lord, that you've prepared, that are ready to recognize their sin before you, and that you died for their sins, and that they believe that and receive that free gift of grace, Lord, and ask you to come into their lives, Lord, that you said you would come in and sup with them, take up residence, that they would have the anointed one, the anointing, hope of eternity, and they would know, Lord, those things that are in their lives that aren't pleasing to you. And we ask that for each and every one of us, Lord. If there's anything in our lives that's not pleasing to you, before we come to your table, Lord, we lay it down. We're gonna do that business now, Lord. And as we go forward, Lord, to another year in this last hour, Lord, we pray that you would lead us and guide us to be a church that is the bride concerned about her purity for her bridegroom, Lord, that you can come at any time, Lord. We don't want to be caught unexpected. So speak to our hearts, Lord, as we sing. Lord, we sing to you. This is for you. But you also said we'd come to the table, and that was for us. And so, like, Lord, as we bless you, Lord, we pray for your blessings upon us. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.